Hey everyone, you are now tuning into The Rebecca Listener, a podcast for Rebecca School, which is a therapeutic day school for children ages 3 to 21 with neurodevelopmental delays of relating and communicating, including those on the autism spectrum. My name is Chris Hernandez, Director of Educational Technology here at The Rebecca School, and I will be your host as we journey into the daily lives of those who work here. Enjoy. Welcome back, everyone, to The Rebecca Listener. I'm your host, Chris Hernandez, and I am here today with three of my favorite coworkers, Ariel, Amanda, and Dawn Michelle. Do y'all want to say hi, introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Ariel. I am the physical therapy supervisor here at Rebecca School.
Hi, I'm Amanda. I am also a physical therapist, of course, here at Rebecca School.
And I'm Dawn Michelle, also.
And we are here to obviously talk about physical therapy and DIR floor time.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. So we're going to jump straight into it.
Cool.
And I want y'all to please explain to me and to our listeners how DIR floor time principles complement traditional physical therapy approaches.
That's actually a tricky question. Yeah, I feel like at first glance, they kind of don't, right? Like, I feel like coming out of PT school, you kind of are taught to come up with a plan, have interventions, know all of the impairments of a student, and what is your very specific plan going to be going into what your treatment is going to be for that student or adult or any population for physical therapy. And then coming here and starting to learn more about floor time, it's very much like take a step back, wait, watch, wonder. Try and figure out what's going on from a more hands-off approach a little bit. And it's very contradictory to what you just learned in school of like, have this plan, be ready.
Yeah.
Everything's gonna happen day one and you're gonna make all these changes. Whereas with floor time, I feel like it takes a way longer time to kind of learn about our students and build a relationship with them to kind of get a little bit more buy-in from them about what we're going to do in physical therapy.
It's very, going off of what Ariel was saying, it's very goal-based. It's very this point, that point, and what points that we are going to hit. It's for you to achieve these gross motor goals. So then coming here to Rebecca School and then learning how to just let play take the forefront and not necessarily have all those goals in mind, but achieving them in a different way.
Yeah,
it's a tough marriage to make, especially first starting here, coming out of school.
I think a big difference that people don't realize with the physical therapy that we're doing here and in general in pediatrics, it's very different than break your arm or have a surgery and you go to PT, it's return to function. Where here we are maintaining or gaining function, and that just requires a different lens mm-hmm. and a lot of flexibility mm-hmm. in terms yeah. of the plan ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like pediatric PT is way more, a little more nuanced in what the outcomes and what your goals are. Kind of like what Dee was saying, it's a lot of like these fine little things that we notice about students that we're trying to improve upon versus just this bone was broken, this muscle doesn't work anymore, the bone will heal, the muscle will heal, and then you're fine. These are, a lot of these things are stuff that students are going to deal with throughout their life, regardless of what PT we do with them. And so how can we make them as independent through play as possible?
So this is actually really cool, because my second question was going to be, what are the key benefits of integrating floor time with PT? But you've kind of already
yeah.
delved into that
yeah.
because it just helps you to think on the fly and think more long term.
Right.
Yeah.
I think with these kids are not, you can't just tell them do 3 sets of 10 of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to figure out, what is this kid like? What are their passions? How mm-hmm. do they like to play? What mm-hmm. are their individual differences? And then figure out, how can I get them to move in order to do these things that are like these exercises that I would like them to mm-hmm. do in a perfect world?
Right. Yeah.
So we're constantly thinking about individual differences.
Yeah. Individual differences, as well as those passions Dawn Michelle mentioned. Really important. like really hone in on those things to get the kids to move, or, you know, get them to play in ways that benefit both them and what we essentially, you know, think what might be best for their gross motor development.
Yeah. And I feel like we know that DIR is a relationship model, right? And so building a relationship with the student first and having them trust you and know that you have their best interest in heart and that you want to play with them and that, like, you are so excited to be with them is also super duper important. I feel like with physical therapy, we are asking students to do the hardest things ever. It's all of the things that their bodies don't naturally want to do. And we're trying to get them to do them so that they can be more independent in whatever facet, sitting in morning meeting or whether they're playing on the playground, but they're really, really hard things. And so using the relationship that you have with a student to be a source of motivation for them to want to be in an interaction with you and want to do these hard things is also really important. And another great reason why floor time is so cool to use with physical therapy.
Wow, so cool.
Oh, we go deep.
This is fantastic. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what would you say are some strategies that you implement in order to integrate floor time into your therapy session? Like, any advice or anything for other PTs who are maybe not in a floor time setting?
I think for me, one of the hardest things to start incorporating was the Weight Watch and Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been my biggest tool, like my biggest thing that I use for strategy that I use. I feel like because we are working in a more long-term sense, it's hard to see those gross motor changes, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, we've been doing the same thing for so long and I'm not seeing any improvement and I hope I'm doing this right. You know, you start to doubt things sometimes. And just the other day, I've been working with a particular student for a little while, and trying to work on their running pattern was like more of a gallop. And one day we were just on the playground, and I said, I'm just gonna step back and watch what he does. And all of a sudden that running pattern started coming forward, and it was more of like a mature running pattern. And I said, oh my gosh, it's happening. And you know, I didn't have necessarily do a specific exercise or put my hands on them in a certain way for manual therapy. It was just something that naturally developed. And I like to think it's because of the work we have been doing over the past couple of years. But stepping back and watching makes you realize how these goals are really coming into fruition.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think as PTs, one of the biggest things they teach you is to observe.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Weight Watch and Wonder.
Right.
And observing is really hard because it feels like you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But actually, that's where you can gain the most information if you just sit back and can watch a kid move or not move.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can inform your PT plan,
yeah.
which is really cool.
I feel like going off a little bit of what Dawn Michelle just said, I think it's also important to understand that I feel like through physical therapy, sometimes with floor time, you feel as though, like, I'm not doing physical therapy, I haven't done anything, or I'm not making a change. But as floor timers, like, we are also clinicians, and using all of the tools that we know from floor time, like, you are making clinical decisions through waiting, watching, and wondering, and being an anchor to an interaction, and using playful obstruction. Like, those are all tools that you're using to make an informed decision about how this student's progress or how this student is going to progress through a session. And so even though you feel like I didn't work very specifically on running, just to use the example that Amanda used, you're still using your clinical judgment to help support their regulation and their engagement, so that maybe not today, but maybe a month from now, a year from now, the goal will be more about the physical therapy piece of running. And you don't necessarily, you're not doing anything. You are doing what is important for that student right now in supporting their regulation, their engagement, and all of that, so that eventually everything else will come a little bit more easily.
Amazing. So with all this in mind, would you say that this has enhanced your understanding of motor development?
Yeah.
I see all the heads shaking. Yes. Yes. No one said anything.
Were,
everyone left
turning,
me here in the dark, but everyone was shaking their head. Yes.
If you think about about motor development, we learn about the world through moving through mm-hmm. it. And it's when you look at capacities versus like where you should be on a developmental ladder motorically, they go hand in hand a lot of the time.
Yeah. And I feel like using floor time principles specifically, it gives us a better insight into the students individually, right? I feel like we learn a little bit, like there are gross motor milestones and it happens between this age and this age, right? But classically, our students are not at the age that they are supposed to be emotionally, developmentally, motorically. And so using floor time and using all of those strategies, you get to learn the student for where their unique place is along these developmental ladders, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think that was beautifully said, ladies. Thank you, Amanda.
And so, final question. You can all relax now, because we're almost done. So, in all, do you believe that floor time could help in the future developments of pediatric PT?
I definitely do. I think that right now, though, there's a huge disparity in what we learn about floor time in PT school.
If you learn at all.
If you right. learn at all, right. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough that I got to do my final clinical in PT school at Rebecca School. And I remember coming here, and I can literally tell you that there was one slide in all of my pediatric coursework that talked about floor time. And then you get put in a setting where that is like the forefront of what is happening. On top of the fact that it really does work and it really is supportive of physical therapy, a lot more programs should be teaching it more extensively as a primary way to be treating our students who have autism and who have neurodevelopmental delays. Especially now thinking about how floor time is now being endorsed as a known method of being able to treat students with autism, not just ABA. It's important that we're learning about these treatment strategies so that we know that it's an option that's out there for us to use.
Yeah, I did not have my clinical at Rebecca School, but I did have it at a place that practiced DIR floor time, and that woman actually came and did lectures for our PEDS course, which was really helpful. And one thing she said was that this is the direction that pediatric physical therapy mm-hmm. is going. So this is where you need to be focusing. And one of the big things that is coming out in research is that if you are having fun while you are doing something, mm-hmm. Whatever it is, so PT will have a greater benefit. And that's what floor time is all about, is like relationships, having fun, mm-hmm. doing the things that are passions for our kids. And so if you get that buy-in and that fun piece, they're only gonna strengthen whatever it is that you're working on.
And I think in my case, I had a very different clinical pediatric experience where I went to a hospital. It was a bit more hospital-based, and floor time was not something that was used at all. And you could see that, especially, I would say even for some of the older kids, like maybe some teenagers, it just became, PT was just something that they had to get done. It was something they got out of the way. And I think if there was more of that floor time piece involved, you could get so much more buy-in from those young patients, and also from parents who were bringing their children in. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, listen, you know, like, come on, it's just an hour, just get it done, let's do it. And you know, it's buy-in from both ends in this mm-hmm. situation, children and the parents or the caregivers involved. And I think especially for PT students who come here to do their rotation, and it is a big learning curve for them to be like, I have to do what? Mm-hmm. What am I doing exactly here? And it's like, what are we doing here? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Go away all your hands, but remember everything you've ever learned.
Yes. Because
you're going to do ortho. You're going to do neuro. Mm-hmm. You're going to do all sorts of different aspects of mm-hmm. PT yeah. through the lens of DIR.
Yeah. So while right now DIR floor time is not necessarily incorporated in the PT curriculum as much, I feel like when students come here to do the rotation, we really try to give them that piece to take away with them, because usually the students who come here are interested in pediatrics. Mm-hmm. So until we can start doing our own lectures in different universities, until then, we want to make sure that we are giving them that
shameless
tool.
Plug.
Shameless plug.
Here for adjunct professor.
What y'all are telling me is that there are a lot of presentations and some lectures coming in your futures.
Listen,
that
amazing.
Would be wonderful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I support y'all.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Thank
we
you so
we
much.
Are PTs
Thank you
coming
so much
to
for
school
having
you.
Us, Christopher. It was a lovely time.
Well, we're
D
not
is wrapping it up.
We're not done yet. So, this is now your final moments.
Yeah.
You have the floor.
Oh.
Time.
Ooh.
To talk about floor time.
See what you did there. Wowie, kapowie.
All the anticipation.
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
yeah.
Oh,
Chris
no.
is a floor timer as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew?
So, any thoughts on floor time? This is your time to say it.
Oh, gosh. I mean, what else? I mean, how much more can we juice this lemon, Chris? I don't know. We said a lot. I mean, it is. I mean, I think, like I keep saying, I feel like for me coming, this is my first job out of school. I've been here for a little while. And bringing those two worlds together has been my biggest challenge, but also one of my biggest achievements, marrying floor time and PT together. Yeah, it really has. I see the growth, and you got me. I'm gonna make sure I, you know, bring it with me wherever I go, here in Rebecca School or outside of Rebecca School, and all that I do.
I will say that was beautiful.
Thank you.
I will say children's number one job, that how they learn is to play. And floor time is playing with our students in a way that helps support their development further. So it's a little bit more intentional, right? But don't forget to like have fun and actually play and be invested in it. Because it's fun for you too, and eventually down the road you will see the changes that are happening, but you don't have to get so caught up in that all the time. Have fun, and everything will just start to fall in place.
Agreed. Dee agrees.
So this lemon still had juice.
A little.
The lemon had a little more juice.
You've been tuning in to the Rebecca Listener, and we'll see you next time.
Peace out.